Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear. This might be a time when we are renewed and remade and rooted in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. This past week has been an amazing one in our country, a very emotional one. I hope you have been watching some of the events of the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, its closing ceremonies, and the challenge issued in the report of this man, Justice Murray Sinclair, the kind of face of that effort to bring truth to light, but in a healing and hopeful way. And so we go forward. And one of the beautiful things about this whole adventure is the stories that have been coming forward. Heartbreaking, moving stories, but important stories to hear, to give their proper dignity to learn from and to go on from with a new understanding and love. Stories like the story of Flora Frying Pan, who is in the foreground of this picture. It was told by her daughter, who is there pictured as a teenage girl. Her name is Gail Gallagher. Gail had to tell her mother's story because Flora committed suicide when Gail was 27 years old. Flora was a survivor of the residential school system in Canada. And Gail has taught me, and many of the residential school survivors are teaching us a new vocabulary, and this is an intergenerational residential school survivor. And that's an important concept to understand. Because when it comes to this great wound in our nation's history, it doesn't simply apply to those who actually endured abuse at the residential schools. It applies to their children and grandchildren. Gail is one of those who understands and is growing to understand how much she has been wounded by what her mother went through. Her mother went to a residential school as a child, and there she was taught to be ashamed of being a Cree Indian. She wasn't allowed to speak her language. She grew up in a place where she was disciplined and taught, but without love. She was taken out of the ground, the place where she was rooted in the love of her family, into an institution where she was not treated with respect, let alone love. And so she grew up, as you might understand, a damaged person. For how can you give love when you've never learned to be loved? Gail recalls now that her mother never hugged her, never told her how much she loved her. She somehow understood that, but her mother was unable to express it openly and directly. Her mother never talked about the residential school situation that she endured. It is very much similar to veterans of the Second World War or other horrific moments or traumas that cannot speak of what they endured, partly because they in themselves cannot face that trauma again, partly because there are no words for it. So Flora never shared with her daughter what she went through in that school, but her daughter knew that her mother had some great fear of her two daughters being raped, and so she was especially protective about them. But she also never allowed them to learn their Cree heritage. Gail asked her mother if she could learn how to speak Cree. Her mother denied her that. Her mother gave Gail her own shame of being an Indian. She was working as an employment counselor in Edmonton when she received the phone call. She was called out of a meeting to a family emergency, and there she was told that her mother, Flora, had overdosed. She had abused alcohol and pills most of her adult life, but that's because she hated herself. She had been taught to do that. We sometimes see the adults, we forget that they were children when they were taught to hate themselves and their culture. Now, it's not true of every residential school and every teacher at every place, but certainly it is true of such a significant number that we as a nation have to account for it, and we as a church have to understand our own participation in this. For we did not give them the gospel. We gave them Victorian morality in a way that took away their dignity and self-respect. And so Gail received a call that her mother had committed suicide. Only 3 months earlier than that, her aunt had committed suicide. Gail says she's not looking for justice, whatever that might be. She's looking for forgiveness. She's looking for the freedom to move on with a different spirit and a different understanding of self and country and world. But it is hard when your story has been shaped by self-hatred. She is rebuilding her life, reacquainting herself with her Cree language and Cree culture and Cree respect. And we as a nation have to do the same. But how do you do it? It is hard, you know. And I get this question a lot from people. It's not simply a question for First Nations people in this country, but for everyone who grew up not knowing unconditional love and support in their lives. When you've been abused, when you felt abandoned, when you have grown up in a conditional awareness that your value is somehow based on how well you perform, how do you come to a new understanding that you might be rooted and grounded in love so that you might flourish in a way unhampered by fear? Well, Paul calls us to understand that. He says, and you have to understand, the book of Ephesians is a book about new humanity. The ending of all the divisions, whether between Cree and white or Jew and Gentile, to understand that the breadth of God's love is larger than all those things which in our humanity we would use to separate ourselves from each other. He begins with a little play on words. He says, God our Father, in whom all humanity has their name. And you have to understand that in the Greek, pater means father, patria means family. So there's a little play on words. Paul is saying we're all one family. That's the truth. That's the story we have to now understand. And it comes through this limitless love of God that has acted for us in Jesus Christ to end all our divisions, to dignify all our humanity, to find us where we are that we might know we are loved. I can't say this often enough because this is the hardest thing to accept. We do things to our families, we end up in little disputes, we are rooted sometimes in such bitterness and such anxiety, and such fear, or perhaps it's a concern about money. We're rooted in everything but this limitless love of God which declares to us that we are one and we are to see in our neighbor someone who is also to be loved and respected, and to begin our lives and our activity in our world from there. How do we do this? It's not that hard. Perhaps you saw in the Toronto Star this story. It was on the front page. This picture was taken in Mimico in 1941. The man is Albert Kennedy, and the young woman he is with is Lillian Davidson. They were going out on a date, and they were both very nattily dressed. This picture was found in the memento box of Lillian. She died in 2001. Her granddaughter, Annette Long, who was a nurse in Kingston, was remembering on June 6, 2013, the sacrifice of people who died on Juneau Beach. And she remembered a story that was half told out of her grandmother's history of this young man, Albert Kennedy, her mother's, her grandmother's very close friend who died on Juneau Beach. No one talked about it. Obviously, there were some sensitivities. Lillian married a wonderful man, and they had 50 years together raising a family in great love. But somehow, Annette Long, this nurse in Kingston, wanted to know about this man from Mimico who never had the chance to grow up. And she began to research his story. She spent 18 months researching his family history, his military records, until she knew him. And she wept for him. This story that had been kind of a secret in their family became part of the story of their lives. I thought I had a picture of Annette at the cemetery in France, where she went to see Albert's gravestone. Albert has become part of the story of Annette's life. He was the hidden part of the story of Lillian's life, but his story is now shaping her life in a way that she feels a gratitude that she did not have before for those men who died on Juneau Beach on June 6, 1944. Young men who did not have the chance to grow up, but gave all of us a chance to be rooted in freedom. Now, if Annette Long can understand Albert's story as part of hers, can you understand the story of Jesus as part of yours? The story of your Savior, who came that the world might know and every creature in it who we are, who gave his life for all of us that we might understand that the Cree is a beloved child of God. And their stories are to be heard now, and they are to be embraced and honored, and their tears are to be cried with as we begin a new journey of reconciliation. It is the story that I hope that Colton will be rooted in, that he may know the width and length and height and depth of God's love for him and for all people and all creatures in Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Soil of God. It is printed in your